It's all good. I'm a GA junkie, standing on the side of love. 9 different ones I've attended, 9 ways my heart's been shoved. Idea awaken, difference making, no forsaken, risk taken. From promise to commitment, that's Louisville's GA theme. After Phoenix's Justice GA, let's make a difference as a team. Conversations, education, celebration, rejuvenation. Proud banner bearers, we sing Blue Boat Home. Toward justice and commitment, each UU will pledge to roam. Expanding hearts, expanding minds, love everyone, leave none behind. Singing songs we all know, 3,000 voices strong. It touches my heart and takes my breath. This is where I belong. Anti-racism, anti-classism, activism, heroism. We UUs don't take easy issues. No, it's the impossible we try. Working together and chipping away till the world's a better place. Oh, my. It's all good. It's all right. UUs seek justice day and night. Marching to the Ohio River, witnessing in our yellow shirts. In speeches, we covenant with each other, with the earth and all that dirt. Immigration, legislation, right relations, no subjugation. Can we switch from fossil fuels? We must be sustainable, and how? Turn it off and shut it down? Change your life for better now. It's all good. It's all right. UUs seek justice day and night. Immigration reform is needed to help families together stay. No fracking, no fossil fuels. Your vote can help to sway. Social action, compassion, satisfaction, no extraction. Mr. Peabody's coal train, don't take our mountaintop away. Reproductive justice, whose body is this anyway? It's all right. It's all good. It's all right. UUs seek justice day and night. Gender equality, opportunity, what's your passion? What's your hope? Bring your strength. Bring your love. Justice can be a slippery slope. Interdependence, like a dance, we're all one. Give peace a chance. Reflection group with our youth, bridging to adulthood's inspiring. Plenaries are democracy in action, that each is heard is the desiring. Immigration, legislation, right relations, no subjugation. Jenny Corder says, it's all good. Wendell Berry says, for our earth, please care. You use, to who dared to act, standing on the side of love so rare. Compassion, connection, time for reconciliation. Inspiring church services, singing together, we are one. Ebu Patel, William Schultz, service of the living tradition is begun. Information, inspiration, delegation, mediation. Calling Elizabeth Green, her picture is shown. Proudly as minister, she has served. Thanks from colleagues and lay leaders alike. After 25 years, this honor is deserved. Interdependence, like a dance, we're all one. Give peace a chance. At closing, Elizabeth's back on stage. Thanks for 8 years on UUA board. Covenants and commitments at GA are made. Will Booth's congregation be in accord? It's all good. It's all right. UUs seek justice day and night. Poetry slam, thank you, ma'am. No flim flam, gotta scram.
Next, we have a short clip from a movie called To Who Dared that was shown twice at GA as an optional activity. It's about Reverend Waitstill Sharp and his wife, Martha. He was a Unitarian minister, and they left their children with the grandparents and went to Prague, Czechoslovakia, in 1939 to help get people out of there, people who wanted to escape the onslaught of the Nazi invasion.
It was the second Sunday night of 1939 when I had done a full day's work at the church and decided to spend an evening in front of our fireplace. The telephone rang, and it was probably the most momentous telephone call that I ever received. Hello, Wheatstone. I knew whose voice it was. The voice of my closest friend, Everett Baker. Hi. Would you and Martha come over to talk with me at our house here? Yes. He said, Wheatstone, Martha, I am inviting you to undertake the first intervention against evil by the denomination. To be started immediately overseas.
My husband and I felt that something should be done. Refugees in the Sudetenland had been murdered. And people had been imprisoned and hurt.
We had two small kids. A very tiny daughter. I said, how many men have you offered this to? 17. I said, do I understand they've all turned you down? Yes. They think a war is definitely coming. And they don't want to be in danger. As my wife Martha and I went home under the starry skies, we went home with a promise to do it.
A Unitarian minister with profound conviction, and a woman who had been deeply committed all her life to social justice, two people very much aware of the world around them, were handed an incredible invitation, a very frightening invitation, a very demanding invitation because of its implications for their family and their church, but an enormous opportunity to actually change history.
The core belief more or less like the Unitarian and Universalist movements, belief in freedom, freedom of thought, in the use of reason, and tolerance of difference.
It's a faith that affirms each person's human worth and dignity. It's also a faith that very importantly stresses that the shape of human history, the future of history, is in human hands.
Some of you might know what that is. Louisville is a really nice place to visit and probably a good place to live. The people are friendly and accommodating. The city is clean and easy to get around. It's a real sports haven with basketball, football, baseball, a horse track, and it claims a NASCAR track, which is actually closer to Cincinnati. It gets 44 inches of rain a year, four times as much as Boise, and enough to actually keep all that Kentucky bluegrass green without sucking the river dry just to water people's lawns. By the way, that cold Kentucky rain caused postponement of last night's NASCAR race until this afternoon, and it could postpone it again today, from what I understand. Louisville is where Muhammad Ali grew up, and even if you've never been to the Kentucky Derby, or sipped Kentucky bourbon, or eaten Kentucky fried chicken, how many of you have ever held a Louisville Slugger in your hands? Well, they're still made in the factory in downtown Louisville. The city has an abundance of good food of many ethnic persuasions. Our booth delegation ate in a Persian restaurant on the last night of GA. And the Visitor Information Center across the street from the Convention Center has a neon sign in its window with about six different ways to pronounce the name of the town. Unlike the large city to our immediate east, where many citizens insist on only one pronunciation, one mispronunciation of the original French name that's not that much different from the other mispronunciation of the French name. Oh, and in case you're interested, one Louisville resident told us most locals just pronounce it L-U-V-L, Louisville. There's not even any noticeable racial tension in Louisville, which has quite a bit of racial ethnic diversity, or any particular civil rights problem, which created a problem for the Unitarian Universalist Association in planning its General Assembly this year. You see, last year's GA in Phoenix was the Justice GA due to Arizona's problems in coming to grips with immigration and discrimination. The Phoenix Planning Committee set aside much normal UUA business in order to conduct social action projects to help immigrants and to stage a massive peaceful protest outside Sheriff Joe Arpaio's Tent City Jail. There was an emphasis on immigration issues in the workshops and worship services, and most of us who were there left feeling charged up, feeling we had done something useful, and we wanted to do more. So the planning committee for this year's GA was faced with the need to get back to normal, taking up business left undone last year, and offering the wide range of topics normally covered at GA. But on the other hand, there was a feeling that we really needed to continue our activism, that 3,000 to 4,000 UUs wearing yellow Standing on the Side of Love t-shirts, all singing the same songs and asking for the same change, could have an effect on the course of events. But this was Louisville. What kind of an issue could we confront here? Okay, if you're an animal activist, maybe thoroughbred horse racing, Barbaro and Eight Bells and racehorse inbreeding, but there aren't many UUs even aware of that issue. So what could we confront at this GA that would give us any of the feeling we had leaving Phoenix last year? Well, a few Kentuckians and West Virginians felt they had a pretty good cause, and they didn't want it overlooked by the UUA. In order to form a lobbying body, they formed the Kentucky West Virginia Ministers Council. One of the ministers told us they thought it would sound better with the names of two states. But in fact, there were only seven ministers involved. Nonetheless, UUA listened and responded. The cause was sustainable energy, particularly the phase out of fossil fuel-based energy, more particularly, the elimination of mountaintop removal coal mining in Kentucky and West Virginia. They partnered with Kentucky Interfaith Power and Light, a state branch of the National Energy Environmental Organization. So several environmental sessions were offered during the run of GA, and as this has long been one of my concerns, and as I'm a member of BOOF's off and on Green Sanctuary team, I concentrated my time on these. Topics included our commitment to the earth, connecting extraction industries, mining, to rural and urban devastation, the true cost of coal, climate change, a theology of ecojustice, Appalachia and beyond, and our covenant with Gaia. We heard from activists, spiritual leaders, people who had grown up in the coal fields, and others. They described and showed us in graphs, in photographs and video, the effects of coal mining on human society, from coal's removal from the ground, its transportation, processing, use in electric power plants, and what happens to the waste, which continues to pile up as pollution of air, water, and land. And they didn't leave it at coal, but talked about oil, bitumen, the Keystone XL pipeline, and more. We heard from Wendell Berry, noted Kentucky writer, poet, and activist, from Mel Hoover, an outspoken West Virginia UU minister, from Tim DeChristopher, Utah activist who spent 21 months in prison for sabotaging the auction process in a BLM oil and gas lease, and as a result became a leader in the environmental movement. And we heard from leaders of Kentucky Interfaith Power and Light, and other regional organizations. They didn't paint a pretty picture of what's happening to our environment and our society, or of what we're up against. A West Virginia activist said he was a bit disturbed by the bumper sticker he saw on a pickup truck that said, "Save a miner, kill an environmentalist." And that has been done, in fact. But a lot of people are worried about what's happening to their home, the environment in which they live. Thursday evening, most of us marched down to a park overlooking the Ohio River for a Witness for Earth action. There were speakers and musical groups and members of local organizations carrying pro-environment signs. One group passed out these vials of purified Ohio River water so we could see what it looked like without all the pollutants in it. The witness was good, it was peaceful, but there wasn't the news media presence we had seen in Phoenix, so we wondered if anybody really noticed. Well, Margaret Mead wrote, "Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world, for indeed that's all who ever have." The information presented at most of the environmental sessions seemed pretty overwhelming and somewhat depressing. There are many big corporations, backed by the big government they fund, that have tremendous power and wealth. They have shaped American opinion in their favor to the point that many good people will support them to the end. But in the final environmental session at GA, we heard from a panel of Kentucky and West Virginia environmentalists, and they told us of the building process, the one brick at a time they've seen fall into place that has begun turning some things around. In West Virginia, both Democrats and Republicans were owned by the coal companies and turned a deaf ear to environmental issues until last fall. The Democrats lost heavily in the election, and now they're beginning to listen to that environmental segment of the voting populace, which is a segment that's growing slowly but steadily. The Mountain Party, West Virginia's affiliate of the Green Party, pulled 14% of the vote, which is a huge amount for a third party in any state. And in Kentucky in 1988, 82% of voters against a big money campaign by coal companies voted for an amendment to the state constitution which prevented much of the strip mining for coal. One member of the panel in that Sunday session told us that previous efforts to talk to the Environmental Protection Agency had been brushed off. But since our Thursday evening witness on the bank of the Ohio, two panel members representing two environmental organizations had received calls from the EPA, whose officials wanted to come out and talk to them in person. Never believe that a few caring people can't change the world. It's not easy. Thousands of people who work in the coal and other non-renewable energy industries could lose their jobs. We will all have to change our lifestyle. It will be expensive and inconvenient, but the alternative is worse. There were many other things discussed at GA, including follow-ups to our Phoenix efforts last year, but here's my point. The reason I push environmental issues with what little energy I might have left. If we don't take care of the environment that takes care of us, none of the rest of it matters. Immigrant rights, women's rights, marriage rights, voting rights, workers' rights, all the constitutional amendments will amount to nothing in the face of climate change, fossil fuel depletion, power grid shutdown, sea level rise, freshwater shortage, and so on. We'll find that much of what we consider our social progress has actually been closely tied to our environment and our economy. And our economy is tied to America's tremendously rich and favorable environment. It's almost as if we were handed the keys to the Garden of Eden, and like a rock band in a luxury hotel room, we've been trashing the place since we arrived. Many cultures and religions around the world have the myth of a divine figure who will return one day to right all the wrongs and create a new paradise for the people. The Aztecs, the ancient Hawaiians, the John Frum cargo cult in Vanuatu, and of course, 2 billion Christians around the world. Well, if you haven't already guessed, It just isn't going to happen. John Mayer sings a song, "We keep on waiting, waiting on the world to change." The message is that we think we can't do anything, so we just sit and wait for change to happen on its own. But it never does. The film clip you saw just before this, from the movie about Waitstill and Martha Sharp, depicted two Unitarians who didn't wait, but went to Europe in 1939 before nearly all the rest of the United States wanted to get involved and help change things. The world isn't going to change itself, and there's no savior coming for our society. As I heard more than once at GA, we are the ones we've been waiting for. And if anyone's interested in helping us reinvigorate the Green Sanctuary team, you can see Wanda and me after the service. Thank you.
Let's turn to our next hymn, 1064 in the Teal Hymn Book, "Blue Boat Home." Please rise in body or spirit. Thank you, Sue. It's a sure sign of a good accompanist when she can follow the congregation.
Wanda knows that we can't sing that song without me tearing up, so of course she put me right after it. As you already heard, the theme from Promise to Commitment suffused all aspects of General Assembly. The Reverend Galen Gingrich, successor to our beloved Forest Church as senior minister of All Souls in New York, cast covenant in terms of our seventh principle, which he saw as gratitude in practice. He invoked the four elements: earth for one's footprint, including one's carbon footprint, air in terms of breath and the problems of pollution, fire as energy, which is a problem for humanity, and water for fundamental sustenance, since we need to plan to feed 11 billion people in a few years. Wendell Berry spoke at the witness event, noting that you don't stop working because it's too late. And Reverend Gingrich declared that we cannot expect to solve big problems all by ourselves, but we can help by bearing witness. Covenants bear witness and direct our part in working for solutions. The Reverend Michael Tino was invited to give the 26th John Murray Distinguished Lecture. John Murray came to the United States and gave the first Universalist sermon in 1770, 6 years before the Declaration of Independence. The site of that sermon is now home to a UU retreat center named in his honor. Reverend Tino addressed covenant in terms of the Universalist contribution to Unitarian Universalism in his lecture entitled The Promise of Universalism. Universalism, he held, offered three promises, all infused by a fourth, that of love. The first promise of Universalism is that we are all forgiven. The pervasive love of God, or mystery, or the source of life, you pick the name you prefer, is beyond imagination. Covenants that exclude fall before it. God, which is not out there, but in here, in everywhere, in us, in all of nature, loves without limit and without boundaries or conditions. Hence we are forgiven, whether we want to be or not, and even if we cannot forgive ourselves. Such love reaches beyond even the self-loathing that infects most of us at some time, and some of us most of the time. It rejects restricted notions of a judgmental God who punishes the imperfect. Put another way, the tendency to project our pettiness and limitations on God is rejected, because what is wrong with us is utterly immaterial to the source of life in the universe. Its atoms are in us as much as they are in rocks and stars and plants and animals. Its energy moves us as much as the sun. The UUA mission includes the phrase to help heal the world. And this healing is possible and the fundamental task of our religious community. If we exist to help heal the individual, damaged by conditions of birth, by broken relationships, by the indifference of others, by oppression of all sorts, and by damaging religious dogmas. But this healing reaches beyond the individual to the world, whole groups of people, the environment, as we heard, the globe. All, the seventh principle declares, are us. And so the healing of the individual and of the world is not two separate things, psychological health and social justice, but one seamless whole. The second promise of universalism was once called universal salvation. This means that we all share a common fate. God, whatever else we might mean by the term, is the force in the natural world, and we are part of one interconnected existence. We ultimately go where we came from. The implication of this simple truth is the unity of all creation, and that implies that we should work for the common good of all things. To make sense of this, we need a cosmic mindset that considers others in making decisions, and that includes considerations of other people, the environment, the world as a whole. The third promise of universalism is that paradise is possible, not in some abstract future up there, but right here. It is found most clearly in community, and it is constructed by our own hands. This is God's work, and it is left to us to do it in whatever ways we can. Goodness is the result of connection and right relations. And so the promise of paradise requires us to reach beyond our community. The blockages established by human beings prevent paradise. The distinctions we draw between class, race, us and them, borders, dogmas, and so on, that prevent paradise. Paradise requires radical equality, and there cannot be exceptions. The spirit that binds these promises together and binds the first and seventh principles together is love. Love heals brokenness. It heals the earth. It cuts us some slack when we fall short of what we would be and do. And it is the heart of social justice. This message was summarized by the Reverend William F. Schultz, former president of the UUA and of Amnesty International, when he said that Unitarian Universalism has a spiritual center and a civic circumference. May it be so.